Last Monday, I toured the Whitney Plantation near Vacherie, Louisiana, on what is called the German coast of the Mississippi River. The Whitney Plantation is the only plantation museum in Louisiana with an exclusive focus on the lives of enslaved people. In the main exhibit hall, a banner hangs with this statement made by the late Pope St. John Paul II when he visited Senegal in February of 1992. And I quote him, "These men and women and children were the victims of a disgraceful trade in which people who were baptized but did not live their faith took part. How can we forget the enormous suffering inflicted, the violation of the most basic human rights on those people deported from the African continent? How can we forget the human life destroyed by slavery? In all truth and humility, this sin of man against man, this sin of man against God, must be confessed." Inscribed in one of the memorials on the plantation grounds are the names of 107,000 people held in bondage in Louisiana from 1719 to 1820. In the 1800s, Article 537 Civil Code of Louisiana, it states that natural fruits are such as are the spontaneous produce of the earth, the produce and increase of cattle, and the children of slaves are likewise natural fruits. Yes, we treated slaves and their offspring as a commodity in the marketplace of human lives. And it's still being done today in what we call human trafficking. At the time of Jesus, the temple had become, in some senses, a place of commodification. Oxen, sheep, and doves were sold to be sacrificed. Bringing one's own animals wasn't enough. The animals had to pass inspection and were pre-certified, so to speak, guaranteed to be without blemish and therefore worthy of sacrifice. Of course, there might be a markup for this quality assurance. For a nice price, you could buy a worthy sacrifice. How quickly and easily does religion seem to fall into the trap of commodification? And similar things have happened in our own church history. The selling of indulgences comes to mind. In the temple precincts of our lives are money changers, fear, ambition, addictions, selfishness, prejudice. These distort the meaning of our lives and debase our relationship with God and with one another. Other money changers might be any attempt to buy or sell God's grace and favor. So what Jesus does in the temple in today's gospel, we must do in the temple of our lives. Drive out any commodification of God and humans. Drive out the useless, meaningless, and destructive forces that desecrate the sacred place within us where God dwells. Our relationship with God is not to be bartered. It is a free gift given by the divine. In the temple precinct, we discover a portrait of Jesus we are not familiar with. An angry Jesus who made a whip of cords and drove out the vendors who made their living from the temple taxes forced on the poorest rural people. A sanctuary for worship and community enrichment had become a place noted for its unabashed idolization of wealth and greed, a building that represented everything that oppressed people. Anger is a very powerful emotion that can get the better of us. But anger can also bring out the best in us. Jesus' anger compels him to act to restore the temple to what it was intended to be, a house of prayer for all people. The Lenten season challenges us to consider what makes us angry enough to change ourselves, our attitudes, and perspectives in order to restore and recreate our lives and world in the compassion and justice of God, to raise one's voice against injustice, to stand up to the powerful on behalf of the weak, to demand accountability of those who exploit and abuse others, is to imitate the courageous vision of Jesus, who threw out the money changers who had distorted and defiled his father's temple with their attempt to sell access to God. So let me ask you, when have you struggled to drive out of your life some attitude, situation, or set of circumstances that deaden you to the real joy and purpose in life? The Ten Commandments from the book of Exodus are excellent reminders of this drive-out struggle. These commandments are like the pop-ups that appear on our computer screen. These 10 pop-ups should never be turned off, especially since they tend to pop up whenever we are facing temptation. And when we commit these commandments to our mental hard drive, they help steer us toward keeping the covenant to love God and love others, as well as help prevent catastrophic system errors in our lives. God has put these commandments in place for our benefit and the benefit of the community of faith. And we need to heed them and update our consciences with them every day. These commandments and Jesus' prophetic actions in the temple are directed to turn people back to him and the path to an authentic life. Jesus redefines the temple from a place of stone and mortar to a community of persons centered in his own resurrected body. By extension, our human body is a place of God's presence. To be holy is not merely going to the physical temple to purchase a pre-certified and quality-assured sacrifice. If our humanity is a dwelling place of God, then true worship becomes how we treat ourselves and how we treat the other. But treating another kindly, patiently, and with love is much more difficult to commodify. It seems easier to say, buy this and all will be well with you and God. But God's grace is not dependent on somebody else, what they sell us, whether in deed or in word. The challenge is to let go of an accountant God who takes stock of each and every sacrifice, ensuring it is without blemish. Instead, Jesus invites us to a relationship with God based on Jesus himself, the very enfleshment of God. And at the Eucharist, we remember what God has done for us in the person of Jesus. If humanity is a dwelling place for the divinity, then genuine worship means not only a participation at the altar, but also a sincere reorienting of our lives to reflect the example set by Jesus.